Welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. This is episode number 39. I'm your host, Eric Clark, and today is June 5th, 2017. This episode is titled Hunt Work-Life Balance, and we're featuring guest Sam Ubel of the Hunt More app, the Fish More app, Chase Nation, and also a filmer and hunter with Whitetail Adrenaline, as well as Wisconsin Whitetail Pursuits, among many other things, such as being a family man and a genuinely good person and guest speaker at different hunting events. So he's a pretty busy guy, so I really appreciate him having taken the time to come hang out at my place here and record this episode. So this episode's pretty relaxed, pretty straightforward. Sam and I just simply talk about how to balance hunting and work and life, and how we go about doing that. And really, the general thesis that I kind of try to take here is that hunting is kind of the key. It helps balance out those other things. It kind of puts you back into neutral, so that way you can go at those other things with full steam and a clear head. So appreciate you listening, and sorry it's been a while, but hopefully you enjoy this episode. All right, so we have a guest with us today. It's been a while since I've done this, so our guest, Sam Ubel, is here to motivate me to get my ass back on track, and he's actually sitting here with me at my bar in my basement. So we're live on Facebook. How's it going? And then we got the mic over here. You can barely see it on the screen over there, and we're just going to talk about work, hunt, life balance, and kind of flesh that topic out, because, I don't know, hunting really kind of helps balance out your work-life balance.
Yeah, and hunting, and on the other hand, working and family kind of steal you away from the outdoors a little bit. So how do you balance the two? That's kind of a tricky little predicament that we find ourselves in. Being a family man, I've got a little girl at home and a wife, and you got pets and a wife, and you know, there's times where you wonder, are you being selfish because you just so badly want to be outside, you know, instead of being at home? But at the same time, your kids are only young once, and there's priorities in life. So how do you balance it?
So it's funny you say it that way. I'm almost a family man. We're expecting in September, so that's exciting. We're having a girl. Just found that out too.
Cool. That's a good life, man. I love having a daughter.
I'm terrified and excited at the same time, but I look up to my dad, and I remember being a kid, he would be gone for a week or a weekend, and he'd be hunting, and I couldn't wait for him to get home. And there's sometimes where it's like you look up to him, or I looked up to him and thought, I want to be that, you know? And then I was so excited to do those things with him when the time finally came. So I hope that by continuing to do it and spending time away, you're creating that excitement for your kids, maybe. I don't know.
I think it means you got to start taking things a little less seriously when you are with them. One thing I found early on, just in the dating stages with my now wife, was I'd take her musky fishing, or I'd take her out scouting for whitetails or shed hunting, and I'd be very focused, you know, real serious.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, that's a real good way to make, or to, you know, incidentally, make them not like it as much and not be as, you know, interested in going with you.
Yeah, choose your path wisely. Maybe you don't want them with you.
Some guys out there, yeah, careful. Stay at home. I'm going by myself. No, it's really important for me, and just like you, like, right? So you just were talking about your dad. So your dad, he's the one who got you kind of invested, or your passion built up in the outdoors. So if you were to short your wife or kiddo like that, wouldn't that be selling them short?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know, man. It's been a learning curve since I started dating my wife Christy and getting married. You know, that's a whole nother can of worms.
It's a time thing too.
Yeah.
Like, no, my wife's upstairs, and one of her favorite things to do is spend time with me. You know, as me also, but you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, I have this need. It's not that I want to spend time with you, but I need to spend time in the woods or in the water. I have to do these things.
and you can come with me, and that's great, but you're not as interested in it than I am, so I'm going to go do those things. All
right.
And, you know, maybe you'll love me all the more for it.
Or just come with and find your own passion. I've been really impressed and fortunate, for that matter, to, you know, have introduced my wife to hunting. And then to now see her be successful. Mm-hmm. She killed her first bird, big turkey, big 10.5-inch beard. 2 years ago, it was her one and only time she got to go out turkey hunting with me.
Wow. She hooked?
And she was hooked. And she still wants to go. The only reason she hasn't gone since is we had our little girl.
Okay.
So that kept her out of the woods. And then she's pregnant again, due in July, early July. And so that kind of kept her out of the woods this spring. Plus that, and okay, if you want to go, you can go, but I've got to stay home with Adelaide, our daughter. And so there's, you know, there's that. So, you know, she's kind of missing out on a couple seasons. And is it fair that I keep going out and she has to stay home with a little one?
Right.
But at the end of the day, would she actually go on her own if I was to offer to stay?
That's maybe a good question. I know my wife wouldn't. I dragged her out deer hunting with me once, and she was bored, completely bored. And she actually spotted the deer, and she realized, she's like, oh my God, wait, you're actually going to shoot it? And she got really sad. So it was an interesting experience. She didn't want to go again, but she was glad to see how it goes and what it is. And she can't believe that I'm entertained by that. So, you know, it's kind of funny.
I get those early mornings when, you know, you're getting up early for a hunt or something, especially when you're looking at mid-November, you're getting up super early. Here, for example, gun deer season 2 years ago, in Wisconsin here, at least southern Wisconsin, we had huge snowstorm on opening day, and it was snowing sideways since overnight, and it was cold, it was wet, and it was just rough conditions. I had built a tower stand for my wife over the couple months leading into that. Now, mind you, I only had so much time to build that thing because, you know, we had a lot going on in the house and other in work priorities and whatnot. So it was like, okay, once in a while, I'll go out into the garage and put this thing together. So at any rate, the night before opening day, she told me, if I don't want to go in the morning, are you going to be mad at me? Or asked me that. And I said, no, of course not. I'm not going to be mad at you. But I went to bed that night thinking, how should I have, did I approach that right? Or did I handle that right? Of course, I wouldn't be mad at her, but I would be, honestly, I'd be disappointed.
Yep.
Because
she'd be missing out on that experience.
Right. I don't want her to miss out on it. Yep. Right. And so that morning came, I woke her up and, you know, she kind of flagged me off. And so I backed off. I grabbed my stuff. I got dressed in the closet, closed the door behind me so I wouldn't wake her up. And then me and a buddy who was along to join me on the hunt and film, we went out that morning, and I thought about pulling up my phone and texting to see if she had made it to the blind okay, but my hands were freezing. I'd already gone through two pairs of gloves. We had to, you know, we had to row down a long river in this. It was just a ridiculous trip. It was an awesome trip,
yep.
But it was uncomfortable. But anyways, I heard a shot, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. That I knew right where that gunfire had come from. And sure enough, Christy had gotten out of bed, pregnant. I think she was at the time 7 months pregnant.
Holy crap.
Drove herself to the land, got out of the truck, trudged through snow, got up in the blind, and shot a deer all on her own. And that was her first deer ever. And it was a buck.
That's really impressive.
You know? That was
really
cool.
So she's a badass.
She's pretty badass. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and she did the same thing this year. She shot a really big buck this year. And she did that with her dad in the blind with her this time, though, who hasn't been in the woods for like 20-something years.
Okay.
And that's relevant here because I said, why haven't you been hunting in over 20 years? And he said, you know, I used to love hunting, Sam, but as you get older and you have a family, you kind of just get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happened. I just kind of got away from it and just haven't, made time to get back out. So how did he balance that right? If he really, truly did have a passion for it.
Yep.
If you listen to him talk about the stories, you know he loved hunting. So why would you just let something like that go?
Slip away. You wonder. It's, how old is he?
62. Apologize if he's listening and he's pissed that I just told his age, but he's probably okay with it.
Let me just check this gain here. Make sure it's working. I think it's good. I wonder what I'll be like when I'm 62. I haven't lived... Well, I'm 31 now. I've been hunting and being... I've been in the outdoors since I was like 5 or 6 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Dying to have the opportunity to hunt, and that's part of who I am. So it's like... Yeah, I don't know. You just wonder if you get old or achy or your joints don't work as well. You just wonder what you can actually be capable of doing. But I've seen a lot of old-timers in the woods. I don't know. They just go and go and go.
Yeah, my grandpa, he was always up for going up until he was very old. But he slipped. He was walking through snow. We were hunting in Waupaca on the family's 40 acres there. And he stepped on a log that had a little bit of snow on top of it.
Yep.
It was fresh snow, so it was wet. And their bark was off. It was an old, I think, probably elm tree or something. Mm-hmm. So no bark on it. Super slippery. And his foot went right out from under him, and he fell, and he dislocated his shoulder. And that was the last time he went hunting. So it took an injury for him to say, you know what, I'll eat the deer. You go and harvest mm-hmm. it, you know. But, yeah, I don't see myself getting out of the woods. If anything, I see that, right, okay, of course, my time is limited now with a family.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be that way for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But as many people as I talk to that have been through the same thing that, you know, I'm going through and you're about to experience, says, you know, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it at all, because right now just enjoy the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they're old enough to, you know, handle themselves mm-hmm. and stay on their feet and come with you and, you know, not jump out of the boat if you're out fishing or, you know, just and be able to walk well enough to get through the woods, you're going to have a heck of a good time showing them what motivates you to go hunting
yep.
and fish, and what drives you, where's your passion come from. Same way your dad did for you. That's the way I look at it. But I will say, with a daughter, and you might have this fear too, because I know that when we were pregnant with Adelaide, I was very concerned. And I still am, because I have no idea, because she can't speak English yet, right? Is being a girl, I wondered, is there potential that, you know, she's going to, like, not want to go get dirty, and she's going to want to, like, just be really girly? Mm-hmm. Or is she going to want to be girly and yet still be kind of a badass and mm-hmm. go do stuff like mom and dad do?
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried about that for a while, but I don't know if I'm really worried about it anymore, because when I think about how my wife is kind of taking on the whole passion for the outdoors, I don't really see Adelaide straying too far away from something that, you know, mom and dad, you know, collaboratively mm-hmm. Love. So
sorry about this.
No, that's okay. What is that? Is that part tiger and part lion? That's
George. He likes to be where the action is. I'll do logo design and he'll sit on my lap like a child.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So anytime I'm editing film, Adelaide comes and sits on my lap and she just wants to press that keyboard.
No.
And it's like, no, don't do it. Yeah.
Ruin hours of work. Oh, man.
Now, but this topic is such a good topic that I think that there's probably a bunch of people
yep.
that can relate to.
And we don't have the answers. This is just something to talk about, because I think we all think about it. And I think about the different stages you have in life, right? Like, you're at a different stage than I'm at, but you were in this stage. And mm-hmm. even previous to this, you know, I can only talk about what I know and what I've been through. And what I've been through is that there was a point in time where I could do whatever the hell I wanted. I call it OFP, own effing program. And I was definitely OFP for a number of years. And so it's hard to shed that skin of, I'm gonna go right now, because that's what I'm doing. Right. I don't have to, but now I have to include my wife, my plans, or, you know, maybe as a, you know, a guy that's taking his career more seriously, I have to, you know, I have to get stuff done for tomorrow for work that just has to get done. So right. I can't go do that thing. So it's, I don't know, but then when you do have the time, you definitely got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you absolutely do. That is one thing that I could say, you know, just for example, last week, Wednesday, I fish Wednesday Night Muskie League, Pewaukee Lake. And she just turned that down, that beer?
Yeah, what are you doing? Get out of here.
How could she turn down a sip of beer? Anyways, It was Wednesday night, Muskie League, and I hadn't been I was down in Kentucky fishing a tournament. Yep. We were filming that promo for the Fishmore app, so I got 4 days of fishing in, a week earlier. But I had been waiting all off season for game fish season to get mm-hmm. here. So first time on home water, I cannot wait to go. So I get out on the drink, and here comes a monster storm. We only got like an hour and a half of fishing in before the storms hit and kicked us off the water. You know, lightning and everything. So we went back to Smokey's Muskie Shop there, and we stood around talking and drinking beers and gabbing or whatever. And, you know, I'm trying to crack smiles and laugh it all off. But at the same time, like, this was my day.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that this next week, now this week,
yep.
wasn't going to be the same kind of week. I can't go on Wednesday. I'd love to go on Thursday, but we might be driving up north, you know, and to be with family. And so now maybe another 2 weeks are going to go by before I get a chance to get out fishing again. Well, the same thing happens during hunting season.
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, I feel like the seasons just fly by. Summer, it's like every weekend suddenly becomes completely planned out. And you're like, right. What happened to my summer? What happened to those days where I was going to do these things? And yeah, I've only been out twice fishing so far. And I actually got for Christmas, I hope this thing's actually picking up what we're saying here. It seems to be. I got an inflatable kayak. Holly and I got a two-person inflatable kayak for Christmas as a gift. So I was like, all right, I'm going to blow this thing up, you know? And I went out with a buddy on Neshota Lake over here, some little tiny lake. Yep. It's only like 13 feet deep. We didn't catch anything. And so I said, we'll go to Oconomowoc River next time. I've always caught fish there. I've never not, whether it's smallmouth, pike, sure. largemouth, rock bass, whatever. So I go there with him on that trip the same week, and we got nothing again. I was like, man. But to that same tune, it was like, man, it was just good to be out, you know? It's just good to be out. I don't know how to explain it, you know, casting, getting that water in the line.
It really is great
with a fish on the other end, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, but that's how they're hunting too, you know?
I'm a musky fish, man. I like to cast, man. When it comes to catching fish, I'm the wrong guy to talk to, man. So you know that you're affectionate about, like, the whole lifestyle of being a fisherman when you become a musky fisherman, because you know the catch rate is going to go and plummet, yep. you know, yep. compared to what you're used to. Not to say anything's easy, so I don't want to make it sound like anything yep. else is easy, but I'm just saying, we go a lot of fishless days. But
when you get that one, it's worth it.
It's so worth it. You forget all the time invested before that.
Yep.
But you know what? Back on, you might want, there's some questions popping
Sorry,
up there
guys.
Too, by
I'll
the way.
Grab that one, yeah. Let's see here. How are we doing on battery?
If I move it here, you can only see one of us, so he's better looking, right? What's going on, Roman? Uncle Greg, Jeremy, Ben. I know all these names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but back on topic. So there's times where, okay, put yourself in a tree stand for a second. Sun is going down, and you catch that portrait in the sky that, you know, is indescribable. You couldn't even put words to describe it, right? It's mm-hmm. so beautiful. But you're by yourself in the tree stand, and you so desperately want to share it. So what do? You pull out your phone and you take a picture, which the picture
never
looks the same.
Because you can't smell the air, hear the sounds,
right.
feel the air on your face, you know.
So you take that much passion into something that you do, you know, that's your personal thing. That's your time, right? And you think about how much it means to you, and then think about, like, you know, your family at home, your wife mm-hmm. and your child. It's not born yet, but when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you want to just share that? Absolutely. Because if you don't, you almost feel selfish about mm-hmm. it, you know? And so I feel that a lot. Where, you know, my wife will give me the thumbs up and say, like, this last archery season, she said, yeah, go ahead. You know, you better get out, you know, get the tag filled. She knows that's what I do, you know. And every time out, I felt like, boy, it's like, and like you were saying before, I don't remember the acronym, but it's.
Oh, OFP.
The OFP, yeah, same kind of thing. It used to be that way, and it's not anymore. So I feel like I got to take major advantage of that opportunity.
Yep.
And And I just remember sitting out last season, and it was October, mid-October, like the 13th or something like that. And it was awesome sunset. Yep. Over, you know, and I hunt in Delafield is one of those places I was hunting that day.
So you're familiar with where you're at right now.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't too far away. I can't say it on the air where I was, but I was less than a mile away from here as the crow flies. But I was watching over a lake, and the sun was setting, and boy, was that pretty. And I was just thinking, man, you know, my wife is probably at home right now, you know, up to her ears in stress right now, because our little one was even smaller then, mm-hmm. and harder to manage. Well, I don't know if harder to manage is accurate. Things change different a lot in manage. That first couple of years, yeah. right? But different to manage or whatever. And here I am sitting peacefully watching this sunset. I ended up killing a buck that night, though, okay. so that made it all worth it. But I just remember thinking about that, and is it fair? And, you know, is it kind of feels weird. Like, why am I thinking about, is it fair? Well, because you're only human, right? And you mm-hmm. care about your wife, and you care about your kiddo. And then are you missing out on time that you could be spending watching that little one grow, you know, because, you know, you're being selfish and being yep. out hunting? Man, it's just such a... It twists you up inside a little
bit. It sure makes you want to be around that more often, I think. Your time away gives way to more appreciation to want to be back around that environment,
right.
which is an interesting concept. You know, I don't know what the saying is. I'm terrible at remembering sayings, but you know, you miss something more when it's gone or whatever, however it goes. You know, the heart grows fonder in absence.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as she might not want me to leave, I point because she's upstairs. You know, once I come back, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you're back and this is great and I missed you and you have that. And that's interesting. That's an interesting thing,
yeah.
you know? And if you bring meat home, you kind of feel like, you feel a little bit like a man. You're like, I brought some freaking meat home, you know? I'm providing. Yeah. This
you
is,
gotta make
you
a
know?
Mixer. And
then she'll just make fun of me, but you know, you're not really a man. You killed a deer. It's pretty helpless. It's not like yeah. you know, stabbed a lion in the throat or something, but no, either way.
A sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, a sense of accomplishment.
Do you know what you put into
and
it?
And pride and, you know, there's something to that, I think.
Yeah, the bounty of a day in the woods.
Bring it home to your family. So, right. yeah, I don't know. How's it all balance out? It just kind of... My big thing with this episode or whatever is, man, work can really get you down and striving for greatness or just trying to get through your day so you can have one of these things here. That's fine, too, you know, but I don't know. That time in the woods makes you appreciate those things. Where you don't want to take your job for granted. You want to appreciate that you have one. There's guys that'll piss them off all day long about their job or their work or their career or their boss. But at the end of the day, it's something you should be grateful for. You're able to pay for your bow, your arrows, your camouflage, your scent killer, your beer, everything else. So it's like that time in the woods gets you to ruminate and think on things that you wouldn't otherwise because it's silent.
There's
you know?
Two different types of common work, I think, and at least... Excuse me, in the Midwest, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's like this just about anywhere, so I don't know why I really referred to the Midwest.
That's what
but,
we know.
But really, you got, you know, the guys of the trades, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got office.
Yep.
And a lot of my friends are in the trades, whether they're in construction or electric.
Welding.
Or all this. So yep. many different things, but they all get up like 3 or 4 hours earlier than me, and they're to work 3 hours earlier than mm-hmm. me, and they get to leave work 3 hours earlier than mm-hmm. me. So it's like, so I get to work and I start at say 7:30 or 8:30 or sometimes 9 depending on the day or whatever the reasons are, but that doesn't mean that I get to go home at 3:30 or 4
right.
or even 2 o'clock. No, it means I'm there till 5 or 6, sometimes 7 yep. o'clock at night. And you know, in November, especially in Wisconsin, I don't know
when it gets dark quick,
it gets dark at 4:45, you know, mid to late November.
Yep.
During the rut,
you gotta request that day off.
You've got to do something. You talk to your boss, like working in an office environment. You know, I'm on salary, so I talk to my boss in advance. I say, well, listen, if I can get here early and work, you know, I'm over my 40 hours no matter what. But
yep.
if I'm here earlier, can I leave earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And
because it still feels weird. That 40 thing is still questionable if you're.
Yeah. You know, when I was, you know, more entry level, there was times where, you know, you had to talk to your boss because he wants to know where you're at or she wants to know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at a point where I could probably get away with, you know, managing my own schedule, but I still like to be transparent about it. because I don't want to
people feel rely on you. They're going to email you, expect a response.
Just an added stress. It's like, okay, I wonder if anybody noticed I'm not there, and maybe there's an email and I'm not responding quick enough. And I do have a business cell, so I can check my emails, but that's stressful in itself. Mm-hmm. And usually if I'm leaving early work to get to hunting, I'm driving, so I'm not going to be on my phone doing emails.
Yep.
And when I get there, I'm usually swapping out my work clothes for my hunting clothes.
Sure.
To get into the woods enough time to have at least an hour to hunt. And which, by the way, then, you know, you're limited to, not too far of a trek in, which kind of can bum a guy out, you know. Unless you got some easy peasy walk down the edge of a field,
yep,
go hunt a field edge or something. But a lot of times, especially public land hunters, if you're going to go spend time in the woods, you might as well make the most of it and up your odds. In order to up your odds on public land, you got to put more work in.
Right.
Which means you need more time, because it's not so easy to access those hidden pockets if you're, you know, not necessarily hidden pockets, but those pockets that aren't touched as much. You know, if you're just, you know, racing out from the parking lot, it's not like that. So you got that going on, and in the back of your mind, you're stressed about work, and now you're
already kind of stressed about hunting. Almost,
you're already flustered.
Shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't fish angry. You're stressed out. You shouldn't. Ken Jackson wrote a book called "Never Fish Angry."
I feel like I should probably read that one.
it's a good. It's about musky fishing in the Northwoods. Well, that's where he's from, anyways. Guide's up there, but that's beside the point. But yeah. So you're out in the woods and you're already stressed about work, and then you add in the stress of knowing that you're being kind of selfish, going and sitting in a tree or whatever. If you're hunting on the ground,
yep,
doesn't matter. Doing something that you love while the person that you love might be at home waiting on you to get home. And sometimes, you know, you don't get home till late. By that time, they've already maybe worked a full day, so they're already exhausted when they get home from work, which takes their mood from up here to down here.
Right.
And
when you're unaware of it, too, you walk in and you're like, uh-oh.
Yep, and now you just got to relax, and you're walking in like, oh, man, finally got the work stress off my back.
Had a great day.
Yeah, and they're just like, yeah, well, I have the work stress on my back, and I have, like, sitting here waiting on you on my back. And, you know, that can make kind of for a touchy situation. But it's not like it's bad. It's not to complain about.
It's good that someone's out there caring about you, wondering where you're at, and actually... Right. You're so valuable that when you are around,
yeah.
When you're not, it's more for them, right?
So that's the struggle. Boy, I wish we had like a call-in or something. I'd love to hear some people.
I've done it that way.
I'd love to hear some people.
I have like a Bluetooth speaker. Gosh, it would be. I'd have to kind of pause it, but I've done the call-in show.
Let's do something like that.
Stand by. Talk to these guys here. So we got four viewers. I'll just pause this for a moment.
You do to kind of balance it out.
Make sure this is going here. Sorry, bud. Yeah, looks like it's going. The things I do, gosh, I just I'm the idiot that bites off more than you can chew and chews it anyways. I'm a little bullish that way. I'll just sleep less, work more. I don't know. I get pretty weird. And then when it's something I'm passionate about, especially hunting, actually hunting and fishing are probably the only two things that I will happily, gladly, excitedly wake up at the ass crack of dawn,
yeah,
without a care in the world, having had trouble falling asleep because I'm so excited. So I got even less sleep than normal.
Sure.
And I'm good to go. But trying to get up in the morning at 4:45 to go to the gym, nope.
No, man, you get enough workout when you go hunting.
Yeah, do it for work. I'll do it because I have to, and I'll drag my butt there, but not the happily, excitedly kind of way. And hunting, it's like, I just can't wait, you know? And I even enjoy that Zero Dark 100 drive, you know, when you're the only car on the road, and there's that weird feeling that starts to start this fire in your soul, and you're like...
Builds up the excitement.
Yeah, walking through the woods when it's dusk, and you can kind of see, but you kind of can't. And usually, when I go, you can't. And then it starts to come to life, and your eyes are like, wait, is it actually daytime, or have I just adjusted that well? And so, I don't know. I guess I solve it by... It probably isn't the right way, but I just take it on.
No, I see what you're saying. So I think if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is you know you're going to have a day of activities. And whether it's with your wife or with other family, or maybe it's on your own, just errands you have to run. Mm-hmm. But you've got a day of stuff to do, but you got to get out in the woods.
Yep.
So you're willing to get up early to go hunt, even if it's just for an hour, maybe two, or whatever it takes, just enough time to get in the woods and just at least to feel like you were there. You were there, but like, just to feel
like you were, like you tried. Never know. There's always, it's like that cast. I am the class, and I'm sure most fishers are, so I don't think I'm like special, but one more cast. That could be the one, and one more visit to the woods. That could be the one. And that buck could just be walking through right then.
Do you ever find yourself, because this has happened to me before, do you ever find yourself stuck where, okay, it's time to go. I know I need to go. But either deer came in and now I'm, you know, fully surrounded. Or maybe it was, maybe it was like a turkey or something like that happened to me this spring.
Oh, but then you have to stay.
Oh, yeah. Because
now you're like, well, now I heard something. I'm not just hearing reverbs in my own thoughts. This is a real thing that could actually happen now.
Right.
And so, yeah, I've had that. But the thing with hunting is the sun goes down. You only get so much time to shoot.
Yeah. Well, so the morning time is the hard part.
Yes.
Especially on a weekday. If you talk your boss into letting you stay out, like say, hey, do you mind if tomorrow I come in at 10? I'll stay late or you usually work more than you.
Unless you actually get one, then it's like a problem, right?
Right. Well, like,
I need the whole day. I got to go track this thing.
I've had incidents happen where it was like, okay, I know I gotta leave here by 9 to get back to work by like 9:45 with enough time to change out of like all my like gear and into, you know, fancy office clothes. And then, like, strut into work, like, I just got out of the shower and, you know, fresh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I've had that happen before where I just shot the bird or the deer. And that holds you back from getting to work on time. So then you're racking your brain, like, okay, how do I explain this one? You know, how am I going to get out of this one? And, 9 out of 10 times, I can only think of, like, two instances in a job I used to have where I had to like really answer to somebody who, he was a bit of a micromanager, if I'm honest.
Sure.
And I'm okay saying that, you know, live. It's fine. He's, I think, retired now. So unless he comes out of retirement.
The odds of him hearing this.
Yeah. And he doesn't really care for hunting and or fishing for that matter. So maybe, you know what? And hey, maybe that's why he was so hard on me when I'd take time off to go, you know, do those things. But, I shot a deer, was that 3-4 years ago now, and it was right at sunset. There was minutes left of shooting time, and that was the spot
that's
about
my favorite time,
a mile away from here.
Yep.
And that deer left a massive blood trail, but we followed it. I would say probably, I think it was 150 yards. And there was no deer. How could there be this much blood and no deer? Well, I didn't want to push it, and it was dark, and I couldn't see much, and it was like, all right, back out time, come back in the morning. Well, unfortunately, I have to work the next morning. You know, I had to be there at 7, or between 7 and 7:30.
Right.
And it's the kind of place in that office environment where you walk in after, like, everybody else.
And they know.
They know.
Yeah.
Everybody. Doesn't matter if they're above or below you.
Yep.
They know, and it just doesn't sit well. So you might not hear anything about it, but you don't want to be that guy, you know. But anyways, that night I sent
Skype call, I think. Oh, that's my wife's phone.
That night I called my boss real late, like on his business cell, and left him a voicemail. Well, first of all, he wasn't too happy about like the 11 p.m. call, okay, to tell him I wasn't gonna be in on time and I was taking a half day. But the other thing that he wasn't too proud of me for doing was actually coming in late, because the next day, even though I said I was taking a half day, I didn't come in until like 2 in the afternoon.
So
that pretty much took a whole day.
Yeah. Yep.
So he sat me down. We had this long talk, and I won't get into the details of that, but it was ridiculous. And finally, I was just like, listen, I shot a deer last night. I needed to go look for it. I've been out there in recovery mode. He doesn't like hunting. He doesn't like killing animals.
Don't care about it.
He definitely didn't want to hear that the reason I was missing work. It's my vacation day, though. So why does he care? I don't know. But it's such his life. And we all kind of deal with that at some point.
Yeah, I got a boss right now who's the owner of the company I work for. And he's a great guy. So if he listens to this, I'm a little brown noser here. But he's trying to set up time for me to actually go bow hunt more. So he's like, I'm trying to work something out here so you can get bow season off.
He's got the right idea.
Yeah, and he's a bow hunter. So
you're
going
to have to keep working for him. You're going to have to definitely keep working for him.
So that's a neat thing. So work-life balance, right? Depends on what you do for a living, who you work for doing it, and how much they'll understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
But I honestly think, I don't know, I had a boss that was into the micromanagement and, you know, to a degree, but a real motivator. But I was a producer, so he wanted me there making him money. You know, that's just how it was. And I feel like, you know, at some point when you bring in enough, you kind of earn it. You know, hey, man, I've done these things. I did this. Here's what I brought in. I'm out. You know, yeah, don't bug me.
I'm going hot.
You want me to come back with a clear mind and produce more? I'm going to go do this thing, and you're going to have to just be okay with it. You know?
Yeah.
But of course, I'm in front of that person. That's not the way.
I was
that's
gonna
not
say,
the tone of my conversation.
I was going to say, that sounds
but that's,
like the...
that's the back of my mind. That's the objective, and then how the delivery is a bit different.
That's the conversation
that's
I have with my buddies as I drive to work. I'm like, I'm going to let him know what's up. You know, and I get there,
hey,
and I'm like,
hey, boss.
That's what happens.
I'm just wondering if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, and it doesn't usually go your way.
No, but that's life. Life punches you in the face. I think there's a quote by Mike Tyson, like, everyone has a plan until someone punches you in the face.
See, I can't even understand it unless it's with a lisp. And I don't want to be the guy to do it, and I don't want you to do it either.
Yeah,
so I'll hilarious. Just imagine it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So the solution is, I don't know, everyone has different variables with their work, their life, their family, and what they actually even like to hunt. You know, I just assume most people listen to this are deer hunters by and large, and that's the kind of thing that I talk about more than anything else. That's what I know.
Yeah.
But there's turkey and there's coyote, and so you can get your fix anyway. I mean, maybe you're going to go out during the moonlight in winter months and you're going to freaking do an all-nighter. And you're going to shoot some yotes. You know, that could be the thing you do to get out. It doesn't have to always be the deer or whatever, but...
I guess if there was one thing, and I tend to talk too much, so give me the look if I'm rambling here, but just...
We got to the end of that beer.
Yeah, something to... Yeah, well, if I'm talking, I'm not going to drink it, but I definitely want to drink it, so I'll talk less. Oh, excuse me, but what I will say is what I found, and I'm not wise... I mean, beyond
you seem kind of wise. Maybe a wise guy.
I'm a wise guy. Yeah. You got that right. No, is sometimes we overanalyze things, right? And we look at, say, our wives or a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that's the best comparison for right now for this mm-hmm. conversation. And we overanalyze what we think they're probably thinking.
Oh yeah.
About what we're doing.
Yep.
And that makes us feel like selfish, like mm-hmm. I was talking a lot about before. And and then we feel rushed. And when we feel rushed, sometimes we get stressed. And when we're stressed, sometimes we get agitated. And then, you know, next thing you know, before you walk out the door to go hunting, maybe just your internal stress that you built up on your own
mm-hmm.
because of your own, like, mind overanalyzing what she might be thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
might cause an argument, or, you know, just you don't leave on the best terms, and you come home and what do you know, like, dinner's out or cookies are made and she's happy to see you, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, son of a gun, you know, I misread that one, I miscalculated, and then you feel like a dumbass. And rightfully so.
Most guys do.
Right?
Most guys are.
But I think, but, and you know, now I'm 2.5 beers in here.
Sure.
Right? But, and that's not many, but I'll be honest. I'm not sure if this makes sense, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's us overanalyzing that causes the stress, the hiccups. I think if we really were to, in a sober mind, stop, stand back, and like watch as an outsider looking in
mm-hmm.
at that whole thing going down, I would say that whether you're a male or female that has this passion, because I know an awful lot of women and
right.
girls out there
yep.
that are addicted to hunting and their boyfriends or husbands
aren't
yep. right? And they still have that drive just like any man does.
Unless they had good dads.
But yes, exactly. But the point is typically whether or not your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend is a hunter or a fisherman themselves, they fell in love with you or found interest in you, whether I don't know if you're in love or not yet, not you, I know you are, but I'm talking about anybody listening,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They fell in love with you for a reason, and they knew you were into the outdoors when they met you. So of course they, you know, advocated.
Right, that's something that drew them to you, right? That was a thing that you did, that's a flag you carried.
Right.
And that's something that makes up your makeup and your character and who you are, and that feeds into what they like about you in some level.
Well, and there's a lot of level there. That's a high level, mm-hmm. because you know, and if I take the white gloves off and be transparent for a second, you know, I'm not gonna pretend like there hasn't been times, and I've been with my wife now, we'll be going on 14 years, so we've been together a long time, mm-hmm. not married that long, but together that long.
It's a long time.
And there's been arguments or discussions, not necessarily like yelling matches, right?
Sure.
But discussions where sometimes, like, you know, like you focus so much of your attention on hunting or fishing, and you know, me looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, well, she's saying that I don't pay attention to her, and that causes a little bit of a, you know, a breakdown in communication at the moment, mm-hmm. right? And admittedly, you know, there's been times in my life since we've been together, mm-hmm. where I've looked at what I do and how much time I put into it. And thought about, is it really worth it? Well, hey, what if I just sell all my fishing gear? What if I get rid of all my hunting gear? Because this means the most to me, right? Mm-hmm. And then what would that make things better? And no, I think if I ever sold my hunting gear, and I think if I ever got rid of my fishing gear, I think my wife would probably leave me, because she loves that about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was too damn blind to see that,
mm-hmm.
because I looked too deep into it. I just thought that me spending all this time away from her out in the woods,
mm-hmm.
like, was a problem. Like, I was being selfish, and
yep.
she was mad at me for it, but she wasn't.
There's, you know, I'm just going to turn to this camera here for a second, but there's a lot of people that I know in my social circles, friends of my wife, people that I know, family members, relatives, people, coworkers, that I've literally heard, he spends so much time in the woods, it's going to be a problem when we get married, thinking that maybe you're going to fix that. And it's like, that's who you're marrying. Mm-hmm. That is not a problem. That is who that person is. And some guys take it, you know, like I said, the OFP. Yeah. I mean, they're out doing hunting every animal, fishing for every fish, at every season that happens throughout the whole year in the state of Wisconsin or elsewhere. And there's always something in season. You could always be hunting. But at the end of the day, you got to just, whether you're with a girl or a guy that does those things, you got to appreciate it, you know?
I think if he or she ever says, do you love being outdoors or hunting or fishing, or do you love deer more than you love me? I think that's when you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, listen.
Figure out how you're going to answer that question.
You need to have more, like, of me time, and
yep.
go buy her a bottle of wine, or go buy him a case of beer and
something,
and just make sure that the other person knows that they're appreciated.
Yep.
Because they fell in love with you for a reason. And,
yep.
And
but to that person, it's like, you know, you got to let that, there's got to be some independence too, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone's got to have their hobby. And if you're dating someone, or you're married to someone, or you're with someone that their hobby is the outdoors, you know, there's plenty of outdoor activities that cross over, like morel mushroom hunting, right? Like, my wife and I went morel mushroom hunting once, and that was awesome for us to go do that, because
it's a hike in the
pretty
woods.
Chill. You're just walking around looking for mushrooms. No big deal. You're not killing any animals.
Right.
You're just spending time outside. We love canoeing. We love kayaking. We love hiking. You know, that's all great. So you can go shed hunting. You can go deer tracking. You can go, you know, explore some new territory.
Shed hunting is a great thing.
Yep.
Took my daughter when she was 3 months old in the baby Bjorn. You know, and that was in February, mm-hmm. and there was snow on the ground, and it's colder than hell. And all you know, we got pictures, man. Mm-hmm. We found sheds, and all you see, because I've got my parka around her, is the top of her little, like, helmet or hat, you know, poking up. And then these two, like, boots that are hanging out that are way too big for her feet, but they're the smallest size they make, right?
Yeah.
And that's all you see. And it's like, we're out there doing that because there's no reason to sit in indoors.
Because what else are you gonna do? You gonna sit there and watch Netflix for the rest of your life? I mean, that I can't tell. So my wife and I were trying to think of our favorite movie the other night, right? We're trying to name this dog. We're thinking about, like, what are our movies? You know, we can make Magma, we'll name him Dale because we like Step Brothers, you know, Dale Dobek. Just weird stuff, right? And I'm like, man, I can't remember the last movie we even saw, but I tell you, I can remember
Prestige. Yeah, worldwide.
Worldwide. I can quote every line of the movie. Our first conversations were strictly quotes of that movie, back and forth in form. But no, it's like you're not gonna. I can't remember the last movie I watched or show that I burned through on Netflix, but I can remember every detail of every hunt I've ever been on. So I just think that those memories are far more impactful and impressionable and mean more to have that experience rather than just sitting around doing something. You got to have the two. Like, we'll play cribbage, right? That's a fun game. It's nice to have the dialogue. It's it's great. We keep a scorecard. So, you know, I'm the winner in the family, you know. But
that's a brag, Bob.
Ruthless about it, too. No shame. You lose, I win. You suck at life, I'm awesome. You just bury your nose in that loss. But the day I lose, I'll hate it. So, anyways.
Terrible at cards, man.
There's no skill to cribbage.
I don't know, but I don't even remember how to play. It's been a long time since I played cribbage. I know that my grandpa and my uncles and my cousins would play it at Christmas time, and it used to drive me nuts. You guys go sit there by yourself and play that damn game, and I'm going to go peek at the gifts in the other room. But I'm not going to be playing cribbage.
But even that stuff, then we get into, like, we're opening a whole new can of worms, like, you know, gun season, tradition, and the cabin, and what you do when you're there. And we introduced Cards Against Humanity to my dad a couple years ago, and he just loved it.
Sure, there's all kinds of great conversation that happens around the card table.
Oh, yeah. So that's fun, right?
Usually the conversation when I'm playing poker or something is like, you son of a gun. You're taking all my money. I hate this game.
Yeah, don't ever play in between the sheets.
It's between cards and chess I don't like, and I think it's chess that I really despise because it's so limited just to those two people.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, there's so much thinking that you're not going to be talking.
Hey, man, I thought we were hanging out. No, I'm playing chess with so-and-so. It's like, whatever, man. I'm going. You know, that sucks. Cards, at least everybody can get in, Annie up or whatever. Is that the right?
Annie in? Yeah, pony up. I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, thanks for listening, guys and gals. We'll, I don't know, end your suffering of us yammering on here. Hope you found some value in the podcast in this episode. Sam, give yourself a plug here for everything you got going on. Get closer to the mic still.
Sure. Yeah, if you guys, anybody listening right now, if you've got a true passion for the outdoors, if you're a hunter or a fisherman, you know, every season is a journey. Capture it well. Visit the Huntmore or the Fishmore apps available on iOS at the App Store today. And then coming this summer, the Android version of both the Huntmore and Fishmore apps will be available.
It's our website. How do they find it?
Yep. It's fishmore.io or huntmore.io. And just like it said, it's one word. So Fishmore, one word, and Huntmore, one word.
Cool.
.io.
Cool.
And then
what else you got?
Please do check out Chase Nation. Absolutely. Chase Nation, all about adventure hunts, do-it-yourself hunting, public ground, some private. And it's 100% fair chase, do-it-yourself adventure hunts. And if you want to see some guys get down with it and, like, get in a boat and paddle to some hard-to-reach destinations that other guys aren't willing to put in the work to get to, you gotta tune into Chase Nation because that's what we're doing, and we are running film the entire time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So, check them out. I'll give myself a shameless plug later.